Our first scripture reading is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, from verse 2 to verse 7. Isaiah 9, verse 2. Let us hear the word of the Lord. I'm reading from the New International Version. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Here ends the reading of our lesson.
Our second scripture reading may be found in St. Paul's letter to Titus, reading from chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Titus chapter 2, reading from verse 11 through to verse 14. Let us hear the word of God. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his own, very own, eager to do what is good. Here ends the reading of the word. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this Christmas morning is taken from the gospel according to St. Luke. Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 1 to verse 20. Luke 2, 1 to 20. Let's be outstanding for the word of God. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went out from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea in Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, in whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of God.
This is a wonderful day. If it were outside Ghana, especially in Europe, they would tell you, because of the sun, it's a beautiful day. And so we have a beautiful day. And I thank God I'm speaking to handsome and beautiful people. You are shining as I look at you, you know. And I thank God for his grace upon our lives. Amen. The theme for today is peace. Peace. And the text for my sermon is Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Luke 2, 14. It says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." Peace to man on him, on whom his favor rests. Peace is defined as freedom from disturbance, quiet and tranquility. It is also defined as an agreement or treaty to end hostilities, or treaty to bring harmonious relations. So what is the meaning of peace in this? Most of the time at Christmas, peace is part of the message. And Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace. So you hear people saying that he brought peace, so let us live in peace. It is true. But I want to tell you that it is beyond that peace. It is beyond that. What is the peace that Jesus brought? Is it just, please let us agree, is it just peace amongst us? It is more than that. Do you know, Jesus himself says something along the line that will baffle you. If you read Matthew chapter 10, 34 to 36, please, you know, anytime I come here, I want to do it with you. So can we all read along Matthew 10, 34 to 36. It says what? Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Let us continue. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. And so we want to put this piece we are talking about in perspective. You know, because we normally think Christmas, so peace, peace, peace. But we are saying it's beyond that. And this verse even baffles us. It says that Jesus himself is saying, you think that is what I'm bringing. I'm not bringing that. I'm bringing sword. Those who come and believe in me will have enemies. People will not love them. How about on earth? How about on earth? Read Matthew 24, 6 to 8. Matthew 24, 6 to 8 says what? It says what? You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed or disturbed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, earthquakes in various places. It's okay here. So, the way we talk about Christmas peace, it's as if it is not being fulfilled. But you know, if you read these passages, you find Jesus himself saying that there will be wars on this earth. So what is the peace we are talking about? And what is the peace that Jesus brought? Why do we call him the Prince of Peace? You know, through Jesus, God wanted to solve the biggest problem of man. The biggest problem we have is the problem of sin. What we call original sin. I'm not mentioning your sin, but what we call original sin in the church, in theology. Original sin, according to the Catholic Encyclopedia, Catholics believe, we believe, Anglicans believe, Methodists, this our faith, what we believe. And so what is original sin? Two meanings. One, it is the sin that Adam committed. And number two, a consequence of this first sin, the hereditary stain with which we are born on account of our origin or descent from Adam. Every human being who enters this world, because he's a descendant of Adam, comes into this world with a stain. Everyone comes with a stain. You know, anytime we are talking about sin, the truth is that there are some people who were born and bred in the confines of the church. And so when you are talking about sin, they don't know what you are talking about. He's a nice person. I've been nice from his fancy. You don't know what you are talking about. I'm a nice person. My grandfather was, And so what are you talking about? I don't know the things people talk about. I'm a decent person. So you talk about sinners. But I don't have that problem. But brothers and sisters listening to me, every human being enters this world with the stain of Adam. Romans 3:23 says, for what? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Tell the person sitting by you, dear one, like you, we are sinners. We are all sinners, tell the person sitting, my brother the sinner or my sister the sinner. Will the person be annoyed? He will be annoyed, eh? Why are you calling me a sinner? But the Bible says that you are a what? A sinner. Listen to what the Bible says in Mark chapter 7. Mark 7, 21 to 23. Sin does not come from outside. It comes from within. Within our stain. Within our fall. Let us all read. I please beg you. I like teaching. So please read along with me. I plead with you. I'm not making you small boys and girls, please. I'm not do that. I want us all, as we read along the word six sticks, let us all read. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. They're already inside. 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 And they make us unclean. Matthew echoes the same thing. Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. Let us all read again. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. They all come from where? Within. Inside. It's already inside. And they show just by their branches and fruits, but they are inside. And that is why Jesus came. Already the wrath of God was on us. Because of what was inside. And God does not want to have any dealing with sin. We were objects of God's wrath because of our sin. And that was why Jesus came. Jesus came so that wrath can be taken away. Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. You know, because of what we were doing, the wrath of God was upon us. The anger of God was against every man. But thank God, Jesus came so that anger, that wrath will be removed. And that every man will not be an enemy of God. And so the peace the Bible is talking about here is reconciliation. That you and God were not on good terms. That we were not on good terms with God. That God was against us. His anger was on us. And so in the Old Testament, you see a lot of destruction against man. For God hated man. Hated what he had created. But Jesus brought reconciliation. Great reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 11 to 21. Let us all read. Let us all read. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God. And I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again. By giving you an opportunity to take pride in us. So that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of our God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. One sinned and all sinned. One died and all died. Let us continue. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. You know, what Jesus came to do was he was God's pardon. Go and then be the mediator. Join me and my people together. And so under Jesus, when reconciliation comes, he does not count our sins against us. Some people like quoting Old Testament. In everything they are saying, God, we remember the bold man. When the children played with him, the bold man stood and said, hey, let the animal come and devour them. And then so in Jesus' name, God, devour people. Your God is not like that any longer. You don't know him. It's not the devouring God in the Old Testament. Currently, before Jesus comes, he's a God who is reconciling the world to himself. And is not ready to count people's sins against them. Because Jesus has already paid for it on the cross. If you accept it, shout amen.
Amen.
God killed the leaders of Ghana. He will not kill them. I'm telling you, he will not kill them. That kind of prayer, let us stop. Whoever is a capital man in Ghana, look, he will not kill them. What will he do? He will give them time to repent. That is why the Bible says that God is not interested in the death of the sinner. We belong to a different dispensation. You remember that day when John and James wanted to behave like those and said, this town we wanted to pass through, and they say they will not allow us to pass through. Jesus called fire. Called fire. Destroyed them. He said, you don't know the spirit you are made of. I didn't come to destroy men. The Son of Man did not come to do what? But to save the lost. If you are happy with it, shout amen.
Amen.
And so we belong to a different dispensation. You remember that day? That day in John chapter 8, 1 to 11. When they brought that woman caught in adultery. Hi-ya-ya, everybody was holding his stone. Hi-ya-ya. Because the Old Testament said that if you catch anybody in adultery, it is stone. It is stone. They are already taking their stones. And they came to Jesus. Ayaya. Ayaya. They are going to stone. The Lord said, they quoted. But Jesus said, you okay? Please, any one of you who has not sinned, anyone, cast your stone first. Wah, wah, wah. And I know the Holy Spirit was at work. And their sins came like video. And they were seeing it under cover of darkness. This one and doing it. This one. And the Bible says they all did what? Went away. And Jesus was left alone with the man. Tell the person sitting by you, we all have the same problem. We all have the same problem. Tell him we all need the same savior. We all need the same savior. We all have the same problem. Well, if you were there, I'm asking you a simple question. Well, will you be able to cast your stone? Hey, yeah, we all have the same problem. And Jesus said, woman. In fact, he was the only one who could have cast a stone, I'm telling you. Because he was sinless. But he said what? Go. I do not do what? Go and do what? Sin no more. Awawa. What a beautiful story. He came that we may have life. And have it more abundantly. That is how why Jesus came. To make peace. to reconcile us and God together, and not to count our sins against us, to forgive us. That is the message we are sending around. And that is why the Bible calls it good news. Tell man that God will not count his sin against him. He's ready to give him a free chance, a free slate, a second chance, a fresh page. Tell man that he has an opportunity, that God is not against him, that God is for him. If you accept that, shout amen. Amen. Oh, that is the New Testament God. That through Jesus, he has reconciled us to himself on the cross. And he's not counting our sins against us. Don't think like God as an enemy, a bad old man sitting somewhere trying to strike people on this earth. He's not like that. He is for you. He knows where you have fallen. He's ready to lift you up. He's ready to forgive every sin. He's ready to make you new. He came that we will be born again. That is why Jesus came. And look at that Samaritan woman. John 4. Oh. Already had five men. Other people's husbands. She's smart at that game. And then she met Jesus. Go call your husband. You know what happened on that day? The woman went, called the whole town unto Christ. Come and see someone who has told me what I ever did. Jesus never condemned him. He did not condemn him. He did not condemn that woman. Jesus did not condemn her. He did not come to condemn the world, but to save them through his blood. God is not condemning you. He's not condemning you. This Christmas day, that is the message. He's not ready to condemn you. He's not ready for your destruction. He's not ready for you to die in sin. He's looking at you and wants you to be reborn. You were created with dignity. You had dignity. You were above all animals. But because of the fall, that is why you are showing the things you are showing. Jesus is not ready to take your sin against you. He's ready to forgive. Remember Zacchaeus, the tax collector. In the system at that time, they would call him a sinner. A sinner. Jesus said, I want to eat in your house. Ah, the people say, oh, he does not know him. The man is a bad man. And Jesus wants to go and eat in the house. There was no condemnation. You all know the story. And when they were at meal, Zacchaeus himself said, Lord, if I have done this, I now... He said, wonderful. Today, salvation has come to this house. If you love it, shout amen. Amen. Oh, he did not come. He did not come. And I'm shouting it to everybody who is sitting here. In this New Testament age, he came that we will have life and have it more abundantly. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish. Will not perish. But have everlasting life. That is the message I'm leaving you on this Christmas day. If you have not been reborn, if you have not been born again, I'm telling you, you don't say I'm better than that. It's not an issue of competition. We all have a stain of Adam. We all need to be born again. That is a simple message. If you have not been born again, today is the day. Oh, tell Jesus, I have the stain of Adam on me, but this day, remove your rats upon me. I accept the coming of Jesus, and I accept whatever he did for me. You are born again. You are born again. And that is it. You are born again. It's a free gift of God. There's no punishment. You are born again. He will not hold your sin against you. Don't count your sin. It is dead and gone. One day when you appear before God, he will not count your sins. Immediately you said forgive, he has forgiven you. Why? Because of the penalty Jesus paid for sin on the cross. That is my message. Won't you accept it? If you have not ever once prayed that, Lord, I have the stain of Adam, I'm a sinner, and I'm coming, then today pray that prayer. If you thought that your good works are going to save you, they don't save you. You are a good person, just watch nicely. inside dead bones, because you have the stain of Adam within. You have the potential to commit any sin, only that the occasion has not come. But when you allow Jesus in, it's a different story. And the Adam, we all fell, and under Jesus, we all rise. We all rise. We will all be forgiven. All who come will be accepted. It's an issue of just telling him. Will you tell him this morning? The reconciliation time is still open. God wants to reconcile with you. Let us all pray. This is a day of reconciliation. A great day of reconciliation. A day where God is forgiving sin. A day where God is telling man, I'm not against you. I am for you. A day that God is telling everyone, come, I will wash you and make you pure. If you are here this morning, I'm not going to delay. If you have never prayed that, God, I have the stain of Adam, I'm a sinner, save me. Today is an occasion. With all eyes closed, if you want to pray that prayer, you lift up your hands and I will pray with you. It's a simple prayer. God bless you for lifting up your hand. Wherever you are, you can lift up your hand. It's just a short prayer and pronto, you are within the kingdom of God. Just lift up your hand. Today, you are making a commitment to Christ. God bless you. God bless you. It's a simple thing. He does not hold your sin against you. Nobody is perfect. We all have the stain of Adam. God bless you. Now pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for coming. Today that we are remembering your coming into this world, I accept you as my Savior and Lord. Forgive me, for I have the stain of Adam. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I turn my heart over to you. I am for you today. Lord, work in my heart. And from henceforth, let me see the fruit of the born again situation that has taken place in me. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Father, we are thanking you for today and the message of reconciliation. I pray that you will keep on reconciling men unto yourself and grant us, those of us who preach, the grace to explain what you did for us by your coming into this world. I thank you in Jesus' name. Let the church of God just shout amen to his glory. Amen.